We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
IB Nation, welcome back to another edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast. It is Tuesday, March 19th, which means we are a day away from practice number two for Notre Dame this spring. I'm excited about it. We're only going to get five periods tomorrow, but we're still going to be there. And that's a lot better than not being there at all, I would say. So there's no doubt about that. Got a lot to talk about today, a lot going on. Ryan and Sean did a great job yesterday talking about the pot of gold situation and everything that was going on there. We're going to have some content at Irish Breakdown about that. Obviously, I'm going to come up this week with a sort of my breakdown of the quarterbacks and some other top players. So a lot of recruiting going on. Also started a video series last night that's going to break down Mike Denbrock's offense. And last night was just a little snippet of what's to come. Broke down a sequence of events that happened in the Notre Dame game against Cincinnati 3 years ago that is just evidence of why I'm a big Mike Denbrock guy and why I have been really since he was at Notre Dame in 2015. It's about the feel for the game. To either tonight or tomorrow morning, I'm working on it. Just depends on when it's done. I'll have another breakdown of Mike Denbrock's offense. It's going to be about a 4 or 5 part series most likely. Going to break down formations personnel, going to break down how he uses motion, going to break down the run game, going to break down a few aspects of the pass game. So a lot of fun stuff. And it's message board. It's premium members only stuff. You're going to want to check that out. The people that are in the chat that are on the board will tell you that, you know, that's stuff that you're definitely going to want to check out. So you're going to want to see that last night or see what I put up last night. It's still on there, obviously, today. Today, however, in today's show, we're going to talk about Notre Dame and spring ball and kind of just some different aspects that need to be a focus for Notre Dame. We'll talk offensively, really about the issues, the top issues that need to be addressed for Notre Dame this spring. Things that are going to help you kind of go into the offseason feeling, hey, you've got a chance to be pretty good this year. I'm going to talk about what I think the focus needs to be on defense as we kind of kick spring back up. And then finally, we're going to talk about the ACC, its potential demise, and what it means for Notre Dame. There's a lot of stuff going out there. There's a lot of assumptions being made that I just think are very faulty. We'll address those again. And my reminder to Notre Dame fans is stop listening to the media when they tell you what Notre Dame is going to have to do, because they've been doing this my entire life and it's never been true and it's not now. So we'll dive into that at the end of the show. That'll be part three of today's show.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let's get into part one of today's show. And you know, this really looks at the Notre Dame offense, and obviously Mike Denbrock was hired to do a certain thing, and Mike Brown, and you've got Riley Leonard coming in as a transfer. You've got Chris Mitchell, who Jaden Harrison, who are already in. You're going to have Bo Collins coming in this summer. You've got some talented freshmen that are on campus, some young. I mean, there's a lot of fun storylines, but I'm going to look a little bit at today about what are the priorities for Notre Dame. What are the things that can and must be at the top of the address these questions or problems at the top of the board. And it's not going to be anything statistical. You've got to average this many yards. You've got to average this many yards per play. It's all about sort of the makeup of your team and what your team needs to be. And that to me is really where, you know, when I watch practice, it's yes, I'm going to be watching Riley Leonard. Yes, I'm going to be watching the running backs. Yes, I'm going to be watching the receivers and the offensive line. And those individual storylines, those individual performances are always fun to watch. They're important. You know, guys stepping up is certainly an important part of this team developing and growing. And so we'll look at those. But as a coach, it's not so much about, okay, is Riley Leonard as good as I hope he's going to be? It's not so much about, okay, is Charles Jagasaw as good as I hope he's going to be? Or Chris Mitchell or Cam Williams or Jade Greathouse or Jeremiah Love or Jadarian Price or Billy Shrout or, you know, name any player. It's about, as a coach, what kind of unit am I building? What's our character? What's our culture? What are things that we focus on schematically? What's going to define us as a program? What's going to allow us to go out there in the fall and compete against the best teams on the schedule? Because if it's a statistical conversation, then you know, look, Jared Parker should have been up for you know, coordinator of the year last year. When you look at Notre Dame's production last year, the production was excellent. Notre Dame ranked seventh in the country, sixth in, amongst Power Five teams last year in scoring. Notre Dame last season in total offense and yards per play last season ranked ninth in yards per play at 6.95. It's the second best season they've had since World War II ended in yards per play, behind only Mike Denbrock's 2015 team. There are a lot of things that you look at Notre Dame and say statistically it looked good. But what we can all agree on is that it wasn't good enough because they didn't do it when it mattered most. They relied on talent, playing some teams that weren't very good, and really just dominating against inferior opponents. For Mike Denbrock, it's not going to be about, you know, can he match the statistics that he had last year at LSU? No, he's not, and I don't care that he does. It's about, are you developing a culture on offense that says, hey, we can go out there and handle our business against the teams that we're supposed to beat, number one, which Notre Dame did last year, but also we're going to go out there against the best teams in the schedule and we're going to handle business and make sure that this side of the ball gives us a chance to win every single one of those games. And then, of course, Al Golden's going to have to do the same thing on his side of the ball, and then Marty Biagi's going to have to do the same thing on special teams. And that's really what it gets down to. It's not so much about, you know, what's our favorite scheme? You know, we're going to run inside zone or duo, or are we going to run man scheme or gap scheme, or are we going to be a team that's horizontal spread on pass game, vertical spread on pass game? Are we an air raid team? Are we a pro style team? That stuff is all window dressing to a degree. You can have, and here's what I mean. You can have all those things. You can have the best scheme in the world and be the smartest coach in the world. But if your core is not strong, you're going to put up points. You're going to be impressive. People are going to like to watch you. But when it comes to the, you know, championship Monday, you're going to be sitting at home watching it with us as fans, as a team. And so that's kind of the focus that I'm going to get on today, is just about the specific aspects of the team that need to really be focused on and built up this spring, and why and how they matter. And that's what we're going to dive into. To begin, I think when you're Notre Dame, it has to start up front. There's no position in my view that is more important to Notre Dame's success this spring than the emergence of the offensive line. There isn't one. And when you talk about, you know, what this team is, and when we talk about the talent and you start getting excited about some of it, you know, there's Charles Jagasol, there's Billy Shrout, there's Ashton Craig. You've got young, talented guys like Sullivan Absher and Sam Pendleton and Emil Wagner, and Kirby Lambert's going to show up in the fall. But more so looking at the spring, there's a lot of names. There's a lot of formerly highly ranked recruits. There's a lot of that type of talent in the room. But that doesn't matter. It's about what kind of line you have, and what kind of line is Notre Dame going to be building. And to me, when you look back at last year, the fact of the matter is they weren't a very good offensive line last year in relation to playing at the level of the standard that is Notre Dame football. And they had some big moments. They had some numbers. Things looked good here, yards per carry this and yards per play that. But at the end of the day, in the biggest moments, the offensive line didn't get it done. And even in games where they played well as a unit for most of the game, like Ohio State, I thought it was one of the better performances the offensive line had. When the game was on the line, they didn't get it done. Whether it's third and short, fourth and short, fourth quarter, putting the game away. And then you looked at games like Duke. They got their butts kicked. They got their butts kicked against Louisville. They got their butts kicked against Clemson. And you really just didn't have the kind of play up front that you needed. Despite having two veterans at tackle, a veteran at center, you know, you were younger at guard. You didn't have a lot of experience at guard. And, you know, but it wasn't just that. You know, Blake Fisher regressed, in my opinion. Zeke Correll regressed, in my opinion. Just overall, you didn't have the type of line you needed. And it wasn't because they, you know, pulled too much. That's a schematic issue that I had, and a conversation we can have about, you know, are they playing to the potential, to the talent of the players? Okay, that's a different conversation. But even within that, even if you're making calls that I don't think necessarily fit the style of your players, the fact is this line didn't play like a Notre Dame line is supposed to play. And that to me is where this is, what this comes about, because the big fear I have with the line is it's youth. And it's not just youth from a class standpoint. It's a youth from a lack of experience standpoint. You go into next season and your most experienced offensive lineman from a snaps and start standpoint is Pat Coogan, who's a one-year starter. He had 13 career snaps, hardly played before last season. You look at Rocco Spindler as your number two most experienced offensive lineman. He had 10 snaps last season. He had a little bit more than 10 snaps. He had 10 starts last season. And you look at these guys and you're like, you know, hey, man, that's just not a lot of experience. You don't have a single offensive lineman with over 1,000 career snaps under his belt like you did last season. You had multiple. And, you know, prior to last season, Pat Coogan had played 3 snaps in his career. Rocco Spindler had played 19 snaps in his career. So your two guards had played a total of 22 snaps. Well, going into this season, you don't have the overall experience of like a Joe Alt, a Blake Fisher, who had 20-plus career consecutive starts under their belt. You don't have, you know, Zeke Correll, who had, well over 20 snaps under his belt. You had a guy like Andrew Kristofic, a guard who was battling, had 8 or 9 career starts. You know, you don't have that type of experience, but you have more guys that have played than you did last year. Last year, you started two guys at 2 guard spots who'd never played a meaningful down in their lives. This year at guard and at least at guard, you're going to have two guys that have played more, whether it's Billy Shrouth, who has 3 starts under his belt now, who have played over 200 snaps last season, whether it's Coogan and Spindler again. And I talked about last week the big drop off they had in pass game production, and how Pat Coogan last year allowed more pressures than the guards from the previous season combined. Well, you expected a drop off, but not that big of a drop off. Well, Pat Coogan's going to be better in year two. Whether he's a starter or not isn't the point of this conversation. He's going to be better. So there's going to be some growth there, but you still can't dismiss the fact that this is still a very inexperienced offensive line. You're going to have a true sophomore with 1 career start at left tackle. Best case scenario from an experience standpoint, you have a 13-game starter at guard. You have a 3-game starter at center. You're going to have a 10 or a 3-game starter at the other guard and a 4-game starter at right tackle, with one of those 4 starts being a game. I mean, it's technically a start, but one of those 4 starts being the Ohio State game when he lined up as a second tight end and played just a small handful of snaps.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Even though you did, you're going to have more, you're not going to have anyone that has the inexperience that Spindler and Coogan had last year, but you also don't have the Joe Walt, the Zeke Correll, the Blake Fisher veteran presence. And that's a concern that I have about this line, and that there's nothing that can fix. There's no drill to give a guy 13 extra starts before the season starts. It's just not there. So then you have to say, okay, well then what do we need to do to overcome the lack of experience that we have? Well, number one, do you have talent or not? Inexperience hurts you even more when you don't have a lot of talent. If you're trying to play a solid, you know, good, steady potential guy at left tackle to replace Joe Walt, and he doesn't have a lot of experience under your belt, that's concerning. When your inexperienced guy is as good as Charles Jagasol, okay, that helps bridge the gap a little bit. Same thing with Billy Shrouth at right guard, if that's where he ends up starting. Same thing with Ashton Craig, if he ends up starting at center. And then at right tackle, you know, I don't know that the talent is what it is at left tackle and at guard, for example, and center. But we'll see. But what you have is you have talent. That's step one. So then, okay, well, what needs to come next? How do we get the most out of this talent within the framework of the fact that we can't change the experience dynamic? Like, I don't want to hear Notre Dame coaches, and I don't think they will, because they're not, you know, Mike Denbrock's not an excuse maker. Marcus Freeman's never been an excuse maker, but you never know. Things sometimes can change. But I don't want to hear any excuses coming from any writers, any fans, any coaches about, well, you know, we don't have experience, we don't have experience. You know that. You know that. And you accept certain aspects of that. There are certain things you're going to have to accept about this offensive line and how it's going to perform because it's young. Totally get that. There's going to be a little bit more up and down than you would normally expect from an offensive line that's got more experience. There's going to be, you know, and that's like inconsistency. There's going to be some misses and mistakes that you're going to get at left tackle the next year that you didn't get at left tackle last year. And so those are all things that have to get addressed. But how do you build a culture? How do you build a line that can then overcome that with other type of strengths? And so the first thing for me that I want to see this spring is I want to see them let them battle. This is going to be a big test for Joe Rudolph, in my opinion. Now, this comment doesn't mean allow battle so that Pat Coogan can get beat out, so that Rocco Spindler can get beat out, so that Tosh Baker can beat out. I'm not saying that at all. If those three guys all start and it's because a real battle took place and the best guy was actually chosen, then I'm good with that. And what do I mean a real battle? A real battle to me means you don't go in like the quarterback competition. It's not a real battle. I understand completely why Marcus Freeman has to talk about there being a quarterback competition. Hopefully have a starter name sooner rather than later. You have to do that because Riley Leonard's got to earn it. But we all know who's going to start a quarterback barring injury. So you can give lip service to there being a battle. You can even allow a certain guy to get a lot of reps. But if in your mind, the younger player or the second player or the guy not starting, if he has to be so much better than the guy that started, then that's not a real battle. It's more so about, hey, clean slate. Our line didn't play well enough last year for anyone to feel like they have a job locked down. That includes Charles Jagasaw. That includes Billy Shrout. That includes Ashton Craig. That includes Pat Coogan. Real battle and let the best man win. And if the best man genuinely wins, and we can talk about what that looks like down the road, then I'm going to be happy with that. Because what that means is if there's a real battle inside and Pat Coogan is still the starter because he earned that job, what that means is Pat got a lot better than what he was in 2023. Same thing with Rocco Spindler. And so what that does to me is a battle creates a sense of competition. It eliminates any potential for complacency. There's nobody that should feel like, hey, I got a spot wrapped up, you know, here at this position. And, you know, I'm the starting left guard or I'm starting left tackle. A real battle across the board, and it should be across the board, eliminates any complacency. Because if you are complacent, then you're going to get beat out. And there's not a starter that's complacent anymore. It's really an opportunity for guys to have to be laser focused and locked in. Like if you're an offensive lineman that's going to battling for position and you spent your spring break not thinking about football and partying a little too much or whatever, then that tells me, I don't know that you're real serious about being the best player you can be. You know, that's all part of it because it forces you to say, hey, how bad do you want this? What are you willing to do? What extra work are you willing to do? What sacrifices are you willing to make to really be the best version of yourself? And I also think a real battle, real competition creates an attitude in the room that this unit desperately needs. There were a lot of guys that I felt last season had a sense of entitlement with how they played. And just the overall room as a whole just played at times like they were just kind of expecting people to kind of lay down because they're Notre Dame, and that didn't happen. And so to me, when you have this kind of competition, it creates a bit of an edge. It eliminates complacency. It forces you to be the best version of yourself. And that inherently creates an attitude that's going to lead into my second point, which is a big key for them this spring. Look, proper demeanor. I'll just say it right now. Proper demeanor. There's a lot of technical things that got to get cleaned up. And some of that will happen in the spring. Some of that will happen in the summer. Some of that will happen in fall camp. I mean, you're installing a new run game. this spring, and Mike Denbrock's going to want to do different things than Jared Parker did, and maybe some different things that Joe Rudolph did. And we're going to learn about what a Mike Denbrock plus Joe Rudolph plus Dylan McCullough run game looks like for Notre Dame. And, you know, but there's going to be certain parts of it that we know are going to be different, much higher use of the inside zone, for example. So there's a lot of those things that have to be learned. I don't expect this offensive line to have all the answers to that by game, you know, by practice 15. I don't. That's an unfair expectation. You want to see growth from practice 1 to practice 15. But something that flat out can be determined and decided and implemented by practice 15 is the proper demeanor. When you guys watched Notre Dame's offensive line last year, even in games they played well, at what point in time did you feel like, boy, this team plays with some edge? This unit plays with some attitude. Boy, this unit is getting after it, man. This unit is playing with some this unit is really taking it to that other team. I don't know that I ever felt that. Even in the last two games of some of the younger players, I think that had as much to do with Stanford just not being any good. And, yeah, there was some toughness in all that. But you had young guys that were making young guy mistakes, and so it kind of sapped away some of that. But there was not a game last year that I felt like, wow. Now, I could go back to 2022, and I can give you some games where I felt that the offensive line was playing that way. I can give you some games where I'm like, these cats are playing with some attitude. These cats are playing with some ferocity that, man, I'll tell you what, boy, this group has something. I mean, you go back, go watch the North Carolina game last year. Go watch the BYU game last year. Go watch the Syracuse game in 2022, I'm talking about last year. Go watch the Clemson game in 2022. Go watch the Boston College game. Go watch the South Carolina game. Now, that unit was not consistent enough. They weren't good enough. But it was a big step in the right direction from where it was, which totally lacked the proper demeanor. Last year's group didn't have the same hunger and physicality of that unit. And that's part of what demeanor is. Demeanor is part physicality. It's part attitude. It's part drive. It's part hunger, where you have this burning desire to every play dominate the guy across from you. Those are all parts of what you need to have when you're talking about being a top, just a top line. And not just a top line, but a line that plays football the way that Notre Dame expects its lines to play football. That's a big thing. And so that demeanor part is very, very important. And that ultimately is going to go a very long way towards determining how good this line can be. Yes, you have to be assignment correct, and you have to have good technique, and you have to play together as one, and all those things are important. But that's sort of that key ingredient. Like, it's like, you look at a person's body, right? And there's tons of things on my body that are bigger from a volume standpoint than my heart or my brain, okay? But those are two things that if I don't have them, I can't function, right? Or I can't even live in certain instances. And so this part may be a, you know, smaller chunk of, from a percentage standpoint, of what you're trying to accomplish, but it is the thing that could make or break everything else that you're doing. And then the final piece is just the offensive line is going to have to grow up in a hurry. And I don't know how to do that as a quarterback's coach, receiver's coach. Like, I don't know the right way to instill that. That's something that O-line coaches are going to have to do. I don't know what the answer is going to be to that. But what I do know is that that's going to be a key for Coach Rudolph this spring, is what do I need to do from a teaching standpoint and from a pushing them standpoint to get this line to grow up faster. Now, every line's different. So Coach Rudolph could go with the standpoint of, I'm just going to be hard on them. I'm going to be hard on them all spring, demand a lot from them, see who's got some mental toughness, see who's got this, see who's got that, and then, you know, really find out who my warriors are, and then we can get back to teaching in the spring and the fall camp, and I'd have no problem if he did that. He could also go sort of the opposite direction, which is, look, summer and fall camp are going to be our push them, grind on them, you know, type of period. Right now it's about teaching and technique and getting that part of it down. I'd have no problem with that. I don't know what the answer is. It really depends on what the makeup of the line is, and that's one where you kind of have to trust the coaching staff that they know what the makeup of the line is better than I do. And so they're going to have to pick how they figure this out. But the fact is no matter which direction they go, they have to figure out how to get this line to grow up fast. Grow up, as I said, there's nothing they can do to get them more experience from game experience. But there are things they can do to say, hey, here's what we can do to enhance their mental capacity. Here's what we can do to enhance their technical proficiency. Here's things that we can do to really work on the cohesiveness of this line. Here's things we can do to create the proper demeanor of this line. Those are all things that can be worked on right now that don't require that they have to play games to improve. And so that's always a big key. And honestly, I'm going to talk about a lot of other things during this segment, and a lot of other things are important. There's going to be more things that are going to happen in the fall, but this right here, which is why I'm going to spend the most time on it, the O-line is going to be the make or break for this offense, which in turn is kind of a make or break for the entire team. Is if this offensive line doesn't get back to being really good and dominant at times and playing with the proper attitude and playing with the proper demeanor and the proper physicality, then a lot of this other stuff is going to be fun to watch. It's going to result in them scoring a lot of points. It's going to result in some yards, but it's also going to result at the end of the year when it matters most, playoff semifinals, championship, Notre Dame's going to be sitting at home watching on the TV like we're watching on the TV. This is an incredibly important thing, which makes Joe Rudolph's job very, very important. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Coach Rudolph does, because year two is always going to be better for him, for any O-line coach, because you now, like a lot of things that I talked about, you know, how does this guy need to be pushed? How does this guy learn? Because I've said this before. I mean, even within receiving corps, when I was at Christopher Newport, I had a receiver. I think I've shared this before. One of my top receivers. We started three receivers. One of my top receivers' dad was a drill sergeant, like literally a drill sergeant. And so the only way Curfew knew how to take coaching was very direct, very stern, like loud. This is what you need. I had another kid on that team who was a little bit more. I mean, he was very hard on the outside, but very soft on the inside, and didn't take loud criticism very well. So I had to figure out, how do I push the right buttons for both of those guys? Well, my first year was a little harder early on than it was my second year, because my second year, like, I didn't know that about those guys when I showed up. And then after a year, you learn those type of things. You learn better how to push the right buttons. And so when I talk about how Coach Rudolph needs to say, well, what's the proper direction of going about this during the spring, and what's the right practice structure and emphasis this spring to get them to grow up fast? I don't know the answer to that, but you'd expect Coach Rudolph to have a much better sense of that now that he's in year two of being with this group as to year one, because he now knows the players involved. He knows their personalities. He knows what works. He knows what doesn't work. He knows who is going to bring it every day. So I just got to focus on the teaching with them. He knows who doesn't bring it every day. So I got to make sure that I got my foot up there, pine parts every day, to make sure that I'm getting the right focus and attitude. He knows all those things. So now it's about, how do I structure our emphasis and our practices for the next, 13 practices plus the spring game, to make sure that by the end of the spring, we've had our battles, we've developed a proper demeanor, and our guys are growing up in all the areas that are important. That's going to be the big key for Joe Rudolph and Mike Denbrock. But it really falls on the shoulders of Joe Rudolph as the O-line coach to be able to push the right buttons and get this line to grow up in a hurry. And if you can do that, then this offensive line has a chance to be a very, very good unit. It will have some ups and downs, but when it's on, it'll look a lot more like the 2022 O-line, where there's going to be some rough games, where you're just like, they didn't have it today. They had to win on talent today. That's okay. That's going to happen. You expect that a little bit. But you're also going to have some games you're like, oh, wow, this group is really good. Like, this group is dominant. We really didn't see that last year. We did see that the year before. And I think this group, talent-wise, has a chance to be that. I expect it to be a bigger line overall. It's got a chance to be really, really good in those moments. And it's up to Coach Rudolph to get the most out of them. That's part one. Going to get on to part two next. But do me a favor, folks, before we do that, reminder to hit that like button and subscribe button if you haven't already done so. And I'm telling you, with the videos that I'm putting out, they're message board only stuff. You got to be a premium member. It's a great time to sign up. boards@irishbreakdown.com. You're definitely going to check that stuff out. All of you guys that are in the chat that have watched that video, it's just a small taste of what's to come. You guys can let people know how much of a benefit it is to be a premium member at irishbreakdown.com.
We'll be right back.